have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And he did that over 2,000 years ago on Calvary. And the only way that we're going to have peace in this world is in Jesus. The world can't offer us peace. They promise us peace, but they can't give us peace. The only way that we're going to have peace is in Jesus. And he didn't say, if you have tribulation. Because sometimes we think, maybe we ought not. But he said, ye shall have tribulation. Now granted, he was talking to his disciples. But that word carries true all the way up to you and I. He didn't promise us a life that we would never experience trials. But he did make a promise that we would never go through those trials alone. He said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. We can find peace in our trials, but that's only in Jesus. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm trying to get out of the habit of old school. Turn with me. Y'all be flipping, sliding, looking up at the screen. So let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4. Now, Peter was writing to churches that were in Pontus, Galatia, Asia. And they were asking this question. Why me? Why am I going through? Do we ever ask that question? Lord, why me? Why do I have to go through? Why am I suffering? But it's because Jesus said, in this world, we're going to have tribulation. But as Peter wrote this letter, he didn't write it to take away the pain. He wrote it to help them to understand how to get through the pain, how to get through the suffering, and to realize that the trial does not mean the absence of God, because he's right there in the midst of the trial with us. 1 Peter chapter 4, starting with verse 12, says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you on their path," excuse me, "on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified." And so this morning, I want to look at our journey through what I am calling the three T's. Trials, triumph, and treasure. Trials are what we experience. Triumph is what Jesus has accomplished and secured to us through Calvary. And treasure is what God has prepared for us throughout eternity. And I'm going to begin with trials, because for the most part, that's where we're all living. I mean, it's a constant trial after trial after trial after trial. And if you say you're not going through a trial, maybe I need to come park over at your house. But the bottom line, for most of us, this is where we're living, in a trial. But as believers, we are going to go through trials. And I want to stop right there and just encourage you with a very strange encouragement, which is, know that we are going to go through trials. Expect it. So Peter starts out and he says, beloved. I like that. Before he actually gets to the trial, he refers to us as beloved. We are beloved of God. So you know what that means? Being beloved of God means God has our back, our front, both our sides, our up, our down. He's got us all around because we are beloved of God. He has put us in a position of being beloved of God. So he starts out with beloved. And then he goes to the trials. He says, think it not strange. It is not to be unexpected. As a believer, we should not be asking the question, why me? How did I get here? Why am I going through? This is part of our life. And because it is part of our life, like I said earlier, when Peter wrote this letter, he didn't write it to tell them that they weren't going to go through anything. And something that we have to think about is these saints, these were what I'm calling first generation saints. They didn't have 2,000 years to look back and see what other saints have gone through. This was the first church coming in. And so in their mind, they're thinking, I'm a follower of Jesus, so everything should be good. Sort of like we do now. I'm a follower of Jesus, so why am I going through? But Peter had to tell them, don't think it's strange. So as we're going through trials, it is not a strange thing. This is the life of a believer that we will go through. And then he says, the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened. As I said, this should not be foreign. This should be us understanding this is the way of life as a believer. And I want to look at, you know, we often talk about like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and how they were thrown into the fiery furnace. And that was their trial. But that was not their only trial. They had had trials before that, which was why they were able to take a stand. Because, you know, when they first went into Babylon, and they were forcing them all to eat a certain food, they were like, nope, we're not going to eat that. So this was not their first trial when they got thrown into the furnace. We have had trials in our life. But we have to learn as we go through those trials that we need to trust God. And I wanted to get to Jesus. We all know that he went out into the wilderness and he was tempted and he was without sin. We know he went to the garden and he was tempted again. And it says that he prayed so hard that the sweat came out like great drops of blood. His trial in the garden, although it was, he was going to the cross. He was going to die on that cross. But that wasn't the gist of his trial. And I say that because a lot of people have died as martyrs. A lot of people have given up their life. But his trial was the fact that he took on the sin of all the world. When John the Baptist saw him coming, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes upon the sin of the world." His trial was he was to be the sacrifice for all mankind. And when we look at verse 13, it says, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. So this moves me into the second T, triumph. It was because Jesus was obedient unto death. And we just sung it a minute ago. Death could not hold him down. Death did not have a sting. Grave didn't have a victory. He rose up in victory. And we have to look at his triumph that we can walk in. Peter first says, but rejoice. I think that's just a little strange. He's telling us to rejoice in our trial. But we are to rejoice. And the reason why we're able to rejoice is because Jesus has already gotten the victory. You know, it would be different if we had to go out there. Okay, I'm going to age myself here. Some of y'all may remember Rock'em Sock'em Robots. Some of y'all young folks have no clue what I'm talking about. But there were two robots, and they would be in there and there just fighting. And then whichever robot was ever to hit it at the right point right under here, it would knock its head off. God is not asking us to rock'em sock'em with the devil. See, the rock'em sock'em has already taken place. The rock'em sock'em took place at the cross. And really, it really wasn't a rock'em sock'em. Because he is who he is. And besides him, there is no other. The devil did not stand a chance. You know, it's funny because you think about on Friday, he was beaten, he was smitten, he was mocked, he was bruised. You know, Satan and his imps, they're having a party. Oh, yeah, we got them now. Yeah, yeah. But what they didn't realize was that Sunday was coming. Sunday was the victory. On Friday, it looked like he had won when they put him on the cross, when his own creation nailed him up there. But notice, they didn't take his life. He breathed out the life and gave up the ghost. And then he went down into hell and he led captivity captive out of it. That's the triumph that we have. When we're going through our trials, knowing that we are not going through our trials alone, knowing that Jesus has already won the victory for us, then we are able to walk in triumph. You know, we like to say, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. That sounds good. And it is true. But do we truly walk in the triumph that God has given us? You know, we have to understand that our trial is temporary, but our triumph in Jesus, through Jesus, by Jesus, and let me just go back, by what he did at the cross, in what he did at the cross, through what he did at the cross, is eternal. It's permanent. You know, what we go through now, and Lord knows, there's sometimes we get a trial, and it just takes all the breath out of us. And we're wondering, am I going to be able to take another step? Lord, I don't know if I can make it. But instead of focusing on our trial, we need to be focusing on Jesus. We need to be focusing on the triumph that he has given us. You know, a lot of people like to talk about the message of the cross. The cross, the cross, the cross. And the cross is a good thing because we need the cross. But we need to look at by what he did. In what he did. and through what he did, because that's where our triumph is. As I said earlier, the trial is temporary, but the glory that we receive from Jesus is eternal. See, we're standing in the victory that Jesus has already accomplished. That's not saying that there's not a fight that we have to do, because we need to fight the good fight of faith. We have to stand when it doesn't seem like we're going to be able to stand. But knowing that we do not stand in ourselves, there is nothing that we can do in ourselves other than placing our faith in Jesus that will give us the victory, that will give us triumph over our trials. But I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can stand with him. Thank you, Jesus. Colossians 2 and 15 says, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." He has won. And it's because he has the victor crown, I can have the victor crown. It's because he has the victory, we can have the victory. The victory has already been won. He has made us more than conquerors. The cross was not a defeat, but the cross was a victory. The cross was not a defeat, but the cross was a victory. And we have that victory. And that's what we have to look to. When we look at the cross, yes, we see the shed blood. We see the pain and the gore. And as Pastor Ike talked about this morning, the different groups of people standing around saying, mocking him and making fun of him and saying, "Oh, you said you'd destroy the temple in 3 days, you bring it back up again, you'll build it back up, and you know, you have all this power, you heal the sick, raise the dead. Why don't you come off the cross?" That's the way the world looks at Jesus. We need to look at Jesus as the sinner who came to himself on the cross and said, "Lord, remember me. Lord, remember me. I recognize you for who you are. Yeah, I may have made a mistake," and Lord knows we all have made mistakes in our life. And the sad part about it, we all will continue to make mistakes. Now that's not, I don't want to walk up there. That's not giving a free will to sin. But that's just saying when we do, we have an advocate. When we do, we have someone who is standing in the gap to make up the hedge because I have fallen short. And that someone is Jesus. So we need to face our trials and what Jesus has already accomplished so that we have triumph. Verse 14. This moves me to the third T. Treasure. Woo. Come on now. Y'all know we all like it. Please give me a piece of gold, piece of silver, a little piece of green, rubies, diamonds. We all like the treasure. Now, whether or not we're sitting here this morning and we want to admit, I'll be praying for you, okay? But the bottom line is, we all like the treasure. And that's where we are right now with the third T. Verse 14 says, If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Now see, we need to stop looking at our life story at the beginning which is the trial. Even in the middle, the triumph. But getting to the end, which is where the treasure is. And here, we have to realize as we're going through that God hasn't finished writing our story. There's so much more other than the trial that we're currently living in. The triumph that we are trying so hard to walk in. But the treasure that God has waiting for us. 2 Corinthians 4 and 7 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." As I said earlier, the trial is temporary. The glory is eternal, and so is the treasure. Although we start out with having this treasure in these earthen vessels. And you know, when you look through the scriptures and the scriptures talking about an earthen vessel, it's talking about something that is fragile. Something that can be easily broken. Something that basically is not worth a lot of anything. But yet, God found in his love for us that he would impart a treasure in this earthen vessel. In this vessel that is fragile. In this vessel that is broken. In this vessel that is not worth anything. But yet, he is putting his treasure, something of value, is going into this earthen vessel. Now, when I say this, I should say these, those that are believers. Something of value is going in those earthen vessels. And we can start with the Holy Ghost. We could start with having the Spirit of God in us and leading us and guiding us, directing us in the way that he would have us to go. So the treasure that we have is Christ in us, the hope of glory. When we have Christ in us, we have hope. When we have Christ in us, we have peace. When we have Christ in us, we have all that we can possibly need. He is our everything. He is our all in all. That's the treasure that we as believers have, is Christ in us. And that treasure that we have, that treasure is eternal. But it gets even better than that. And you go, oh man, what could be better than Christ in us? Christ in us, and we're walking around down here on this earth. But the day is coming. The day is coming. Revelation 21 and 1 says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Also, there was no more sea." That's a treasure. That new heaven, that new earth, that's the treasure that God has in store for us throughout all eternity. That new heaven and new earth, this world cannot even be compared to it. That there's nothing, this world cannot shed a light to the glorious gospel of the light of Jesus Christ that's going to light up that new heaven and new earth. Because we're not going to need a sun, we're not going to need a moon, because we have Jesus in the midst of us. We have him to be the light for throughout all eternity. This is the treasure that we have. So there is something beyond our trial. I want to encourage us this morning, look beyond the trial. Look beyond what is going on in your life today. Look beyond what's taking the wind out of you, be it family problems, marriage problems, kid problems, friend problems, problems, work problems. You know, the list goes on and on and on and on. But if we can get our eyes off of all of that and get our eyes on Jesus and understand that the trial is temporary, the triumph is eternal, and the treasure is everlasting. Trials are real. No question about it. But the fire is not forever. The trial is not forever. Our triumph, Christ has already conquered. He's already made a way. He settled the greatest battle on the cross that could be settled. Because you and I couldn't do it. There was no way that we could lay down our life. Our blood just was not sufficient. But his was. And because he conquered, we have an eternal inheritance, that treasure. So don't stop at your trial. Remember, our triumph is in Jesus and what he accomplished on Calvary. And keep our eyes on the treasure that's set before us. Look to glory and keep our eyes on the finish line. And if you're going through a trial today, I want to encourage you, don't panic. God has not abandoned us. He is in that trial, going through it with us. And we can hold on to Jesus, knowing that that trial will pass. It is temporary. Father, we just thank you that you never promised us a life without trials. But you promised us that you would never leave us nor forsake us, and that you'd be right there with us through the trial. Lord, help us to know that when trials come upon us, that is not a strange thing. And help us to know that our circumstances do not determine whether or not you love us or you're with us. Teach us through our trials, Lord, so we can use them as a stepping stone. Strengthen our faith even when we can't see an answer. Thank you for already triumphing for us over principalities and powers. Help us to understand that our victory is not based on anything that we do, but our victory is based upon you. And when our life is over, help us to remember that you have an eternal treasure waiting for us. Help us to keep our eyes on Jesus, to be able to stand in the trial, rest in the triumph, and look forward to the treasure. Strengthen us, Jesus. In your holy name, we thank you and we praise you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. What a wonderful word, as always. And of course, we thank you so much for being out with us this morning, and certainly hope that you were blessed by that word. I do have a few announcements. Please always remember that we do need your support. There's numerous ways on the screen to do that. Also, thank you for everyone that has given towards our Freedom Project. Looks like we have already received 18,500 this last week. Amen. And if you are going to give, this is the last week that we're going to be collecting for that. And this coming Wednesday, we're going to start our Ephesians Bible study class. So come out and join us for that. And then on the 19th of September, we're having the Money and the Master class. So if you're able, please join us for that. And that's going to be the 19th from 10 a.m. until noon. So if you'll just stand with me, we'll go to the Lord one more time and be dismissed. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that you would never give us more than we can bear, Lord. Help us, as Sister Lincoln was bringing the message, to understand that our trials are meant to grow us, Lord, and that as we grow, there's a treasure that we can expect, Lord, knowing that you have already triumphed and we can just put our trust in you. And so, Father, we just thank you for all that you've done, Lord, and all that you're going to do. We ask that you would just keep your hands upon each and every one of us, Lord, and watch over us as we go home. And we thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.